The following paid commercial program was furnished by the program sponsor. The WYSL stations present an hour of truth for the battered but proud people of the Empire State. From the financial and entertainment epicenter of New York City to the sleeping and empty small cities and towns of upstate, which once bustled with manufacturing, mining, and farming. We all know from inspiration, history, and nature, we deserve a return to the success and growth of generations past, a birthright being squandered by corruption in Albany, and the depredations of an insecure, scheming mountebank posing as governor, who loathes both us and himself. As liberty beckoned to enslaved peoples behind the Iron Curtain via American broadcasts after World War II, we now say, believe, rise, and join us. Welcome to Radio Free New York with Andrew C. Hollister. Andrew, my fondest hope would be that somehow, some way, Governor Headcase would be driving through and he would hear that intro. I imagine in my mind's eye the reaction on his face.
Well, and we talk about many times on the show that, you know, hopefully he is driving through the street, but hopefully in the U-Haul, I'd pitch in and driving somewhere else.
Me
That'd
too.
Be great.
We'd take turns lifting boxes for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet you we could get more volunteers than you could ever imagine.
We just stack up all the boxes right outside Dan Amora, right outside his new digs.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, so here we are, Radio Free New York. I'm Andrew Hollister, running for Lieutenant Governor with Larry Sharp on the Libertarian ticket, and we've got Bob Savage here with us in studio. And first thing I want to start with is just the call-in number. Maybe we get a few more call-ins today. So if you're local, that's 585-346-3000, or if you're out of the area, 866-552-1009. And we found out a few shows ago, the Verizon number, don't try that one.
Yeah, so. You know, now I think about it, all those radio station star numbers, you know, like star 95.3 or whatever, I don't think I've heard anybody use that lately. So probably Verizon put an end to that program.
Yeah, probably. And we are streaming live right now on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. So feel free to comment if you have a question as well. I see Bruce and Dan are commenting saying hi. So hi, guys. Thanks for joining the show. And last show, we brought in Joe Testa, who is the owner of Positron Security. We talked about blockchain and cryptocurrency. And I know it was really, really technical. So I'm hoping that you guys are still with me and that you didn't fall asleep on me. If you're interested in seeing how blockchain and cryptocurrency could actually improve government, specifically government transparency, check out the podcast. It was not a super in-depth conversation about it, but definitely kind of like a high-level overview of how that technology could actually improve government.
In-depth enough for me, I have to say.
Yeah. I think Bob was sleeping through the...
No, what was going on, I had a bunch of texts that I had to send.
Yeah. But... Yeah. And just so you guys know, when you hear blockchain and cryptocurrency, you might think, what value does that bring to New York? Well, it's a $186 billion industry. And it was actually growing in New York State before the governor pushed it out. So we literally walked away from a $186 billion industry in New York State, regulated it totally out of existence. So if you want to learn more about that, check out the podcast. Now, I know many of you, maybe not, know that there was a debate this past week, and they did not include all the candidates, which was obviously very frustrating. They only had red team and blue team there. There was actually a protest outside of the news station's headquarters while it was airing. People who were really, really upset about the fact that not all the candidates were included. And people were just really upset that they didn't get the opportunity to hear real answers in that debate. And a lot of people, they sent me messages and they're like, man, I didn't hear any policy. out of that debate at all. I don't
why
know
did,
if you,
why did it have to be recorded? I understand that.
Yeah, that was interesting too. The fact that they pre-recorded it, I don't know. Maybe they could take stuff out if they wanted to.
Well, that's the thing I don't like about it. I mean, yeah. Obviously that's why it was done, but it's like kind of a rhetorical question. Obviously, both of them wanted to edit the thing. So what wound up on the cutting room floor? Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. So I guess none of us know. Only the people who were there know. And the other thing that was pretty interesting about it is the debate. I think the word upstate was only mentioned once.
It was. Towards the end.
Yeah. And the entire debate.
It was about the Bills. And interestingly, they both responded the same way.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the Bills. Listen, I totally support the Bills, but I'm not going to support a new stadium.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. So it was interesting. There were some comments that were left that didn't get cut out that were pretty interesting, like Cuomo asking the female moderator to join him in the shower. So
what?
Yeah, you didn't see that part?
I didn't see the whole debate.
Oh, yeah. It was...
Explain the context of this.
I'm going to have to... We'll find it on one of the breaks. But she... I want to say it came around... said something about a shower cap or something like that. And he said, well, you can join me in the shower or something along those lines. We'll pull it up on the break.
Headcase said that?
Yes. There was actually some news articles.
Why isn't there like this tremendous outcry about this?
There's one growing on Facebook. There's one, but it's not from the people you would expect. The liberal media obviously didn't pick it up. The mainstream media, they're not really talking about it. Instead, they're just talking about, is this going to be the red wave or the blue wave? And they totally skimmed right over it.
Can you imagine, just imagine, ladies and gentlemen, the response if a Republican, a conservative, or a libertarian made a comment like that to a female moderator in a debate?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, which is why people on Facebook, you know, the independent minds, I mean, they're really upset about it. Really upset about it. And they're even more upset that nobody's talking about it. So,
well,
yeah.
I think that we've become entirely oversensitive to all this sort of thing. And it's not appropriate, but it's not that big a deal. But what really burns my biscuits is the hypocrisy.
Yeah, double
standard. when the left says stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, an interesting on the right side of the equation, Molinaro vowed to expand Medicaid and other welfare related services.
Good. That's
so
great.
Yeah.
That'll get those conservative votes. Good.
Yeah. So it was really kind of I don't know. It was painful. You know, I see people ask, "Who do you think won the debate?" And I'm like, I feel like New York State lost. I think that's the only thing. There was no winners. There was no upstate winning. There was no downstate winning. There was no red team winning. There was no blue team winning. It was New York State losing. When we saw this debate, it was literally a battle between two establishment candidates saying, "You're more corrupt." No, you're more corrupt. Well, yeah, maybe I'm corrupt, but you're even more corrupt than me. And it literally ended with them being asked about their favorite sausage.
And is that in the shower? I'm afraid to ask.
Which was just the strangest, weirdest question. You know, what's your favorite sausage?
So basically, this thing was inane.
Yeah. I mean, this was a joke. This was a disservice to the people of New York. They both agree. They both like Italian sausage made by their grandmother.
And neither one of them is going to fund the Buffalo Bills Stadium. Okay.
No. Yep. So that's why I got the debate. Interestingly enough, when the debate live streamed on Facebook, only 1,100 people were watching. Meanwhile, Larry Sharp actually had an event going on at the same time during the stream and had nearly 1,500 people watching his stream live. So
that gives me hope.
Yeah. Yep. That was very cool.
So, well, listen, let's take the gloves off for just a minute here. What do you say to somebody out there who says he doesn't want to throw his vote away on Larry Sharp and Andrew Hollister because there's no way you've got a chance in hell?
No, absolutely. So I'd say a few things. The first is say this is a Democrat. saying this, right? Say this is Democrat and they're voting because they don't want the Republican. Because we hear that all the time. Oh, I have to vote blue because I don't want a Republican. I'm scared of XYZ policy. And the realistic answer is the Democrats have been running the state for 16 years. If they had a plan to fix it, it would have been fixed.
Yeah. How do you like where we are now?
Fixed. Yeah. And if you're a Republican, your party stand by the sidelines for 16 years watching the Democrats destroy the state, and they don't have a plan today. We're 2 weeks out on the election, and most people have never heard a single bit of policy out of the Republican candidate. And when he's asked a direct policy question, he will respond with, well, we have to look into that. We have to figure it out. We're still working on the policies. He's been in public office since 95. Actually, in the debate, he called out Cuomo and literally said, I've been in elected office longer than you have. That's what he told Cuomo. Cuomo's response was, yeah, we know you're a career politician, which is really funny hearing from Cuomo because he is also a career politician.
Oh, the irony. Yes, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yep. We're not going to make America.
Whoops, sorry about that. Pushed the wrong thing. That's what I meant to hit.
There we go. So I would say that you're not throwing away your vote. In fact, you are voting not for the lesser of two evils. You're voting for real change in New York State. Your options are status quo or vote gold. I say vote gold.
All right, we'll be back on Radio Free New York. And lest we forget, as long as we're talking about Governor Head Case.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great.
I want to turn this state around. I want to revamp our education system from K through 12 to K through 10 with no federal money and no new taxes. I want to repair our broken family court system so that when you lie in court, it is a crime. I want to support new industries like blockchain and open source and hemp and cannabis to support our struggling farmers. You might say these ideas are radical. No, they're bold. We need new, bold ideas to save this state. And this new message is approved by Larry Sharp.
Take it, Tony.
How's that, Pete?
Terrific, man. Hold on. Hello.
Honey, we need help. A pipe burst and the basement is flooding.
Oh, man, now I really got the blues.
What's the skinny, Pete?
Burst pipe. Water all over the basement. What am I going to do, brother?
Call Taylor. 500 Help. Their plumbing experts will fix things up and have you singing in no time.
500 Help? Now that's a hot number.
I think I'm really getting it, man.
Call Taylor. 500 Help.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
We are back on Radio Free New York. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, guys. How's it going? So we're just talking about the debate here and how New York State didn't win at all by having this debate. In fact, it just showed how corrupt our government system is and how the two major parties are so establishment. They're not even running on policies. They're just running on who's more corrupt, who's tied to Trump, you know, and they obviously don't care about upstate.
And the impression that you get from this, quote, debate, air quotes here, is that these are two guys that are kind of like in on a joke and they're not including us. Yeah. That does not fill me with all kinds of gladness when you consider this is the Democrat and the Republican.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, in the historical context of all this, too, ladies and gentlemen, is Ed Cox, who is the state Republican chair for forever, for eons, has not supported the last three of his party's candidates.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really interesting. So last night was actually the deadline to file. So every campaign that runs for office, you have filing dates where you file your financial reportings, your financial disclosures. Well, as of this morning, they did not actually file their disclosures, which is interesting to me because you would think, especially the major party candidates, would know the importance of filing these. It's Board of Election law, and there's no data there to show at all what.
So neither major candidate complied with the law.
Yeah, yeah. Well, everybody has to. So, like, our campaign filed our public filings.
I'm sorry. I meant neither the Republican nor the Democrat can, is what I meant to say.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know. The phone call I got today was specific to the Republican campaign. I'm not sure what happened. I suspect that Cuomo's was in because that's just how he is. He's always like, I'm on time with this and that. So I think that Cuomo's is in.
Except for the state budget.
Absolutely. He's actually pretty upset about that too, because he was able to kind of twist everybody's arm and force it the last 7 years, and this time that didn't happen. So, so we don't really know where that stands because they didn't submit the filing in time, which is once again just kind of interesting. I was looking forward to seeing where they stand. Many people probably saw the article a few weeks ago with the last filing, how they essentially had ran out of money. They didn't have enough money to keep their campaign going forward. And I was interested to see if they were able to build any momentum or if they're continuing to fall into that death spiral.
Isn't that refreshing to be talking in those terms?
Yeah, well, you know, New York State has been in a downward death spiral for well over a decade.
Oh,
well over a decade.
25 years.
Yeah. I mean, it has been a downhill spiral. And, you know, it's kind of funny. You mentioned 25 years. And sometimes people will ask me, they'll say, hey, Andrew, you know, you look like a young guy. How old are you? Well, I'm 29. So I was, you know, too young to know what good New York looked like. And
that's actually even true on a national basis. There's a generation of people coming up, and you're a member of it, Andrew, who have no memory of a prosperous, growing United States of America.
Yeah,
and that's a scary thing. You talk to recent college graduates, and you ask what their career plans are. I'm going to go to Costa Rica. I'm going to go to Qatar. I'm going to go to Belize. I'm going to China for opportunities. Yeah. It never used to be that way.
Yeah. No, it's true. And in fact, when I tell people, and I'll share this story with you guys, sometimes people ask me, how did I end up running? And, you know, how did I end up active in politics? And it seems to come up more and more often because people aren't used to seeing young people engage in politics. And so I tell people, you know, I was born and raised in Rochester, New York, and upstate New York is my home. I hope it always is my home. But and I started my business when I was 18 years old, very young. And for many people, starting a business in New York State, that's the point when you realize politics is important. Once you start, you know, getting that heavy regulation, those high taxes, the crazy insurance board involvement, you know, for most people, that's when they get involved in politics. But for me, it wasn't. And then when I bought my first home, I started paying property tax. And that's when people start kind of waking up and thinking, hey, you know, maybe I should get involved. Maybe I should register to vote. Maybe I should do this or that. That wasn't either. And I made the realization that I just thought it was normal to be oppressed.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because we used to have a fellow that was on 2 to 4 on Friday afternoons, excuse me, the late Peter Haight, who owned Auto Solutions, which was a small chain of retail auto establishments. They did repairs and they sold used cars, and they were in the Finger Lakes. And he would come here and do a political show called The Credibility Report Fridays from 2 to 4. And so Peter would hire young people all the time for detailing cars and for performing service and whatnot. And he had this young guy. He was a little bit younger than you. I think he might have been 26 or something. And he had a really good couple of weeks in selling cars. And he had, I don't know, something like $3,000 or $4,000 in commissions coming to him.
Oh, wow.
Because he had sold quite a few units. So he was eagerly just rubbing his, and he had either a young wife or a girlfriend, and I think they had a baby, and they were just rubbing their hands with glee about seeing their first, like, real paycheck, right? Because
he
had a relatively new guy with the organization. And Peter handed his check to him, and he saw what the tax bite was.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you could just see on his face, you know, awareness starting to dawn on him about why Peter does his show about the tax burdens and the confiscatory government that regards every dollar that you earn as yours, and they'll just allow you to keep this much of it,
yep,
and so on and so forth. And it was a real he put it in an education in 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I see sometimes on social media this little blurb that people pass around. I think it's to encourage people to teach their children about taxes in a way that children understand from a young age. And they always say, when you get ice cream for your kids, make sure you eat 30% of it in front of them first and then give it to them. Because that's then explain to him that that's what income tax is.
Make him give 30% to his sister.
Yep, absolutely. But yeah, it's one of those things that is we are just so heavily taxed in New York. But if you grow up in New York and you never lived anywhere else, you don't know until you really have the opportunity to go around, look around, and see what other states are doing. And Larry and I talk often about how to eliminate the state income tax. And people will get really scared about that, like really scared, and think that it's going to be like a zombie apocalypse in New York State without the state income tax.
That's just like mind-boggling to hear those words.
Yeah.
That the people are afraid of abolishing the income tax.
They're terrified. Absolutely terrified.
How could you allow yourself to be so conditioned that you regard giving away part of your money as your birthright?
Yeah, yeah.
I say this on this show and others, ladies and gentlemen, every dollar that you give up, and bear this in mind, when politicians come to you about that bond issue for the school, and they say, well, it's going to cost the average family only $53 a year. That's less than a dollar a week. Who can't afford a dollar a week? And we'll have the wonderful new swimming pool and the athletic field, and we'll have the hydroponic garden on the roof, and we'll have the wonderful carpeting in the administrative offices. Every dollar you give government is a little piece of your freedom that's gone, and you'll never get it back.
Yeah. No, it's
that's
so
your
true.
Freedom. That's yeah. That's how you quantify your freedom. You work like crazy. We all work. You know who you are.
Yep.
You contribute. Why do you want to give that to government?
Yeah, yeah, I don't get it. And, people, they always they try to justify it. Well, we need roads, we need this, we need that. And a lot of people are always so shocked to hear that we had roads before we had a state income tax. And their eyes, they get so big and they go, we did? Really? And then you say, we wouldn't be the first state to not have income tax. There's six other states with no income tax. And they're just like, totally shocked, terrified, afraid of freedom.
Thanks to our thermonuclear genius producer, Bob D'Angelo, we have that Cuomo shower cut now, if you want to hear.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, let's play it.
All right. So let's refresh everybody who's just tuned in. During the debate,
yep.
Tell us again what Cuomo did.
So during the debate, Cuomo essentially asked the female moderator to join him in the shower. I forget exactly what the context is, but I'm sure we can pull it up. And
here's Governor Headcase.
Can't I get you to sing just a few bars of Empire State of Mind?
No, that's a campaign killer.
All right, fine. We're going to go to the end of the debate.
Unless you come to the shower.
All right, we're done.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. So mainstream media really didn't do anything with that. Although not so surprising, because when you look at Cuomo's campaign disclosures, you see that he received over $800,000 in donations from the media. So from the media. Yep. Yep. So when you see
that. Can you tell us who some of the donors were?
Let me see if I can find it. I'll
put you on the spot.
There's actually a screenshot of it. Online, I want to say NewsGrawl actually ran the story.
We can wait till after the break. You want to pull it up?
During the break, I'll pull it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so when you a lot of times people go, I don't understand why the media doesn't report this. I don't understand why the media doesn't do or say XYZ. And then you see, oh, they gave almost $1 million to this guy. Well, yeah. How are they going to be unbiased? How can they at all be unbiased in their reporting if they're financially supporting his campaign?
It would just be interesting to see if there are well-known anchors, on the major news shows, NBC, CBS, ABC, who are donating to Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think it showed specifically the names. I think it was actually the corporate entities themselves.
Well, that's significant, too.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So that's and that was pretty frustrating. That actually ran the same day that the debates ran, and it spurred because a bunch of people called in to the news station who was hosting the debate, very upset that not all five candidates were going to be there. And
What's with that? Why don't you include? I want to hear what Howie Hawkins has to say.
Yeah, you know, me too. I wonder what he would say. You know, I wondered. Now I won't know. But yeah, a lot of people called. They were very upset. And one person said, you know what I was told? I was told that the news station doesn't choose who debates the governor. The news station manager doesn't choose who debates the governor. The newsroom doesn't choose who debates the governor. The governor chooses who debates the governor.
Well, isn't that just great? So, and not surprising.
Yep. So, yeah, so once that happened, shortly after that, it came out that there was these huge donations to the Cuomo campaign by the media.
Great. And you wonder why nothing ever changes in this state, ladies and gentlemen. And you wonder why you don't get the straight story from the media.
Yep.
Or maybe you don't. He's Andrew C. Hollister. He is the candidate for lieutenant governor on the Libertarian ticket. And you're listening to Radio Free New York on the WYSL stations.
Listening to the voice of liberty. AM 1040 Avon Rochester, FM 92.1 Rochester, FM 95.5 Spencerport, and WYSL1040.com everywhere.
Hi, my name is Yolana. My husband, Andrew Hollister, is running for lieutenant governor along with Larry Sharp this year, and I'm really excited about it. And I wanted to share a story with you. So I'm in the Susan B. Anthony Square. I thought it was very fitting because if it wasn't for her, I would not have the right to vote this year. So I'm an immigrant. I immigrated here from Czech Republic, and I get to vote this year, which is really exciting. So last year I applied for my citizenship. It was the same year that Andrew ran for city council, and I was really hoping I would get to vote for him as my first time casting a vote, because how cool would that be? But I did not get my citizenship in time. I did, however, meet Larry Sharp at the same time, and I loved him off the bat. I was never really someone who was interested in politics, but meeting somebody who was so down to earth and really had good principles and wanted to take New York in a great direction meant a lot to me. So when I became a citizen this year and I found out he was running for governor, I was really excited that that was going to be the first vote I get to cast. To make things even better, Andrew actually ended up running with him as lieutenant governor after I got my citizenship, so now I got to vote for two of my favorite people. But the other reason it's so exciting, other than getting to vote for them, is that I get to cast a historical vote this year. When these two win, it's going to be historic for the whole United States, and I get to be a part of that. My first vote gets to be part of something big and historic, and I get to vote for my husband. So I'm urging you, if you've never voted, whether you weren't a citizen or and are now, or you just never had the motivation to go out and vote, I would love it if you could come join me to cast this historical vote in this election and help make a new New York.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
We welcome our new listeners who are discovering us out on the west side on WYSL 95.5. Spencerport, and giving local coverage to Hamlin, Hilton, Spencerport, Brockport, North Greece, and environs. Here's Andrew C. Hollister.
Yep, and if you guys do want to call into the show, maybe you've got a question, maybe you've got a comment, give us a call, 585 area code 346-3000 or 866-552-1009. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay. So during the break, we were talking about the sexual harassment on the job and in professional environs. And it's very interesting that Andrew Cuomo, in top-down fashion, has imposed the sexual harassment education policy on every employer in New York State, including WYSL. Yep. And you guys have seen this at work, I'm sure, because you've all had to get a copy of Andrew's policy as of the 9th of October, and you had to sign off on it, and you got a model complaint form. So I'm wondering if the moderator of the recent gubernatorial debates filled out a form about the comment that Andrew Cuomo made to her, which certainly would fall within his guidelines of harassing somebody sexually.
Yep.
When he commented that the commentator should join him in the shower.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because New York State sent me. So I'm a small business owner. I had to have my employees. We had to put up a poster on the wall, you know, send some notices to employees. And we had this slideshow provided by New York State that I think is 37 slides long. And according to New York State's guidelines, I'd say, yeah, that's in violation of everything that Andrew Cuomo just pushed on all the small businesses in New York.
So let's give it another spin here. Once again, this is audio from the recent gubernatorial debate between Mark Molinaro and the head case. And this is the comment. You'll catch it right at the end where Andrew Cuomo asks the female moderator to join him in the shower. Here it is.
Can't I get you to sing just a few bars of Empire State of Mind?
No, that's a campaign killer.
All right, fine. We're going to go to the end of the debate.
Unless you come to the shower.
All right, we're done.
Oh, boy. Let's hope he is done.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you know, he says it's a campaign killer, but I mean, yeah. Yeah, no. It's not good. Not good at all. And so what we were talking about, the lack of coverage of this. The lack of anybody.
It's the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's incredible.
The only place that you've
Where's
really
Fox?
Seen. Yeah, I don't know. They probably weren't even watching. It wasn't worth watching. That's probably why. But, you know, we talk about the lack of coverage on there, and it came up that, yeah, well, the media has donated over $800,000 to Cuomo's campaign. So I do have a news article story here on NewsGrawl that has the top five or six donations made by the media.
Do tell.
So Warner Brothers, Time Warner, and the PAC belonging to AT&T combined have donated $293,700 to Cuomo, split up between 29 different contributions. And it says something in here about AT&T in conjunction with CNN, which is interesting. Then Comcast.
It's a connection between AT&T and CNN.
I'm not really sure. It says something about AT&T having control of CNN. Does AT&T own CNN?
I wasn't aware of that.
I don't think that they do, but I could be wrong. Then Comcast, including NBC Universal, has donated $267,100 spread over 19 contributions. Also through WNBC, one of New York City's major television channels.
Mm-hmm.
Then number three is CBS. Including nine of their subsidiaries, has donated $87,500, split up between 18 different contributions. And they own another major New York television station, WCBS, which I believe is the station that aired the debate, if I recall.
I think that's right.
Yep. I think it's WCBS 800. Then coming up on number four here is Rupert Murdoch's media empire, including 21st Fox. Century Fox, mm-hmm. News Corp. They donated $39,000. $25,000 of it was from Fox, $14,000 from News America Incorporated, part of News Corp. And it says part of their controlled media includes Wall Street Journal, New York Post, WNY Television, and WWOR Television. Then Disney, owner of ABC, donate $24,500 spread out over five donations. They also own WABC Television. And the last one here on this list is Viacom and their subsidiary Paramount Pictures. They donated $60,457.28 over four donations. I'm not sure what the 28 cents is about, but for whatever reason, it's not a round number.
Well, you know, I mean, Head Case has had a big, long program where he has incentivized the production of movies and TV shows. He wants that business in New York State. He's ladling out tons of our cash to try to lure these producers to New York State. And I guess this is how they pay him back.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. And as I'm looking here, there's another $78,000 donated to his campaign by other media, including people like Sony and Yahoo, which nothing against Yahoo, but I'm surprised they're still around. It's a little off topic here. I'm in the IT world, and I just don't see how they maintain business. They must have some model that I'm not aware of. Maybe making donations to the Cuomo campaign, and they're getting something out of it.
My wife's email vendor is still Yahoo.
So. Yep, there you go. They must have.
I don't think she has quite the volume to keep them afloat.
To keep them, I don't. So So that to me was really interesting. That the person answering the phone at WNBC saying that the governor gets to choose who's going to be on the debates, not them, and then the follow up seeing that over $800,000 of campaign contributions were from the media. So it's pretty hard to see how these people are remaining unbiased in this election when they're clearly choosing a winner.
Gee, wonder why nothing ever changes in New York.
Yeah.
First of all, we keep reelecting the same nitwits.
Yeah. Yep.
By the way, you may be familiar with this. There was a study done some years ago that showed the rate of incumbency. And this is just not only New York State, but throughout the country, that essentially we have twice the rate of incumbency that they had in Soviet Russia.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's interesting. So if you're a new candidate running for office, I learned this in my last election. There's studies on this sort of stuff. If you run against an incumbent, you have a 3% chance of winning right out of the gate.
Yeah.
3%.
That's what I'm talking about.
So, yeah. It is just terrible and awful. That's why, statistically speaking, you actually have to run three elections, like for a local type election, to get your name even known enough to compete with an incumbent. So, and that's a one-on-one race.
Hey, I'm sorry, you said that's for a local election?
Yeah, local election.
So, like school board or town board,
anything like that. If you're running against an incumbent, it's your first time ever running. Statistically speaking, you're going to have to run three times to take a seat.
Yow.
Yeah. Yep. So it's a lot of dedication, especially some places have a 2-year terms, but most places have 4-year terms. So you're talking about essentially running for 12 years before you take a seat to make change.
Better be young. Hey, let's go to John in Pearl River. Hey, John.
Hello.
What can we do for you today?
I just wanted to know a question.
Yeah, what's that? And he's gone. Okay. You want to make sure that you have your question at hand when you call in so that actually get to hear what you want to say.
Yep. No, we love questions. And speaking of questions and comments, we've got a lot of comments online right now, a lot of support from people all over the place. People got Wayne County on here, people saying they're Republican, they're voting gold this year. You know, you guys keep up the good work. Keep telling your friends. Tell your family about this. It's really important because, like we just talked about, you know, the media is literally funding the Cuomo campaign. So if we want change, it's got to be us. It's got to be us.
What other comments have you got there?
Let's see. We've got some actually on Facebook. Well, we've got a bunch on Facebook, but we've got some that came in on YouTube and Twitter, too. People saying that, hey, the only vote that makes sense in this election is the Libertarian vote. Doesn't make sense to vote red team, blue team. We've got people commenting about the gold rush in New York and people that say, yeah, we're just spot on with what we're talking about. And
we got Joan on the line from Dansville. Hey, Joan, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Great. What's up?
Well, I have a concern. Driving around the neighborhood, I see Molinaro signs everywhere. And when I talk to people about Sharp, they don't know him, and it makes me nervous because those of us who do and want to vote for Sharp, it's going to split it, and Cuomo's going to win anyway.
Well, I'll tell you what, Joan, you've come to the right place because I just happen to have the next lieutenant governor in the studio with me.
Yep.
Go ahead, Andrew.
So here I am. Yeah, no, absolutely. The first thing is the splitting of the vote is really a fallacy. It doesn't exist. But I would say at this point in the game, say it did exist, the vote's already split. It's already happened. There's no going back and undoing a whole year's worth of campaigning. It's just not possible. And if you see some of the latest polls that have come out, you'll actually see Molinaro is taking a smaller percentage of votes than we are. So if anybody's splitting the vote, it's him. He's got to jump off. If he wants to do what's right for New York, he should drop out of the race. Now, I don't see that happening, but I guess the point I'm getting at here is we have the absolute best chance to enact change here in New York, and the idea that the vote is going to be split, that's not really what people should be focused on. They should be focused on who do you want to see win this election, who's going to best represent you, who's going to bring forth the best policies. And if you're talking to people and they don't know about Larry Sharp, that's amazing. That means you're the first person to introduce them to it. You get the opportunity to share something with them that can give them hope for New York State.
Hey, Joan, are you familiar with Larry at all? Have you heard him speak?
No, yes, I have. I've heard him on Glenn Beck, and didn't Shannon have him on her show?
She's had him on several times. Yeah. So what impression did he create for you?
I didn't have a question. I just had that comment.
No. What impression did he create when you heard him speaking? Did he impress you?
If I just pray that he becomes our governor. We need this man in New York to fix what's been destroyed for the last 20 years, like you guys have been talking about.
No, I agree so much. And so many New Yorkers, when they hear Larry speak, that's exactly how they feel, what they believe. So just keep up the good work. Keep telling people.
Hey, Andrew, give Joan and the others some resources. Where can they go for links to hear the Larry at his finest? He's all over YouTube and places like that, right?
Yeah, YouTube. Facebook is amazing. If you go to Facebook.com and search Larry Sharp for New York, we must post 3 to 4 videos a day of us going live, talking with voters one-on-one, taking their questions. We don't filter anything. And every bit of policy is in there. Every question gets answered. We never pander. We don't dodge a question. It's an amazing place to send people for better information.
Thanks, John, for the call. Appreciate it. 585-346-3000, Radio Free New York. Andrew C. Hollister, your host. I'm Bob Savage. We'll be back on the WYSL stations.
What's up, guys? This is Jacob from Upstate Liberty. And I wanted to share something with you I thought was really interesting about Larry Sharp for New York, right? The Larry Sharp movement that's very captivating and exciting everyone. What I think is so exciting about it is during the same day, same short amount of time, somebody reached out to me and identified themselves as a major deplorable. Deplorable is a euphemism or a code word for a Trump person, a Trump supporter. And this person was all hyped about Larry Sharp. Larry Sharp, Larry Sharp, at the same time as being about Trump. Hey, I'm cool with that. I don't care. Not much later, somebody, lifelong Democrat, 20 years plus Democrat, I'm here for Larry Sharp. Mind blown. How is that even? This is real life. And I'm making a point to share screenshots when I come across this, because it's such a rarity. 2 years ago, these two people probably would have been at each other's throats. And because of Larry Sharp and because of the unifying cause of individual personal liberty, these two former enemies are now allies. And who other than a United States Marine can do that? If you haven't checked out Larry Sharp, I know you've heard of him. If you haven't checked him out yet, trust me. People don't follow him because he's talking about a bunch of BS. He's got brilliant, bold, innovative ideas, and I highly encourage you to check him out before you miss out on something historic. LarrySharp.com or any of the social media platforms. Please, please go check out Larry Sharp and his running mate from upstate New York, Andrew Hollister. Thank you.
I want to turn this state around. I want to revamp our education system from K through 12 to K through 10 with no federal money and no new taxes. I want to repair our broken family court system so that when you lie in court, it is a crime. I want to support new industries like blockchain and open source and hemp and cannabis to support our struggling farmers. You might say these ideas are radical. No, they're bold. We need new bold ideas to save this state. And this new message is approved by Larry Sharp.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
It's a regular feature of every edition of Radio Free New York. It's our bad law update. Hang on for a second here. We have a little meltdown going on technically. All right, we got it now. Andrew C. Hollister with our bad law update.
Hey guys, how's it going? I'm back here. We're going to talk about our bad law here in New York. And this time I want to talk about workers' comp. Because workers' comp is what so many small businesses, especially if you're a tradesman, if you work in any type of construction, building, HVAC, any of the trades, you really get crushed by workers' comp in New York State. And a lot of people think, oh, well, it's workers' comp. I mean, you have to have it, and everybody else has it. It's actually not true. The way New York State does workers' comp is different than every other state in the nation. And the way New York State does workers' comp is they actually force you to have not just on-the-job coverage, but also off-the-job coverage. Now, here's the thing. I have no problem with an employer providing you with off-the-job coverage. That's great. I have a problem with New York State forcing it. So what could we do to make this bad law better? Well, step one, drop the mandate for off-the-job coverage and let our tradespeople, our small businesses, and employers decide that if they want to be more competitive, that they can offer that as an employee benefit. But if they're a small business just struggling to get by, they don't have to pay for that. And it'll literally reduce our workers' comp rates by 50%. So you want to help the little guy. You want to help our tradesmen, our laborers, and our workforce. Let's get workers' comp to be how it is in the rest of the country, whereas you can add more benefits if you want as a benefit, but you're not forced to pay for something, especially something that doesn't get used often.
So the dreaded ladder law is history.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, here's the thing. Workers' comp isn't going to go away, but it should really just be required for when you're on the job. And then if your employer wants to give it to you additional benefit for off the job, amazing. Most people never use off the job workers' comp, and it's hard to even get it approved. So we're forcing these businesses to pay for something that the employees can never cash in anyways.
It has no practical application.
Exactly.
Gee,
yeah.
That's never happened in New York State before.
No, not at all. So, there's our bad law. That's bad workers' comp in New York, and there's a really simple way to fix it. So
how do you guys feel about the family leave thing?
The paid family leave, you know, that's interesting. I think it should be optional. I don't think it should be forced.
It would be available to employers to use on a voluntary basis if they wanted to recruit workers who would benefit from that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And here's...
You would let the free market decide.
Yes, absolutely. Here's the thing. As a small business owner, it doesn't actually cost that much. It doesn't. I want to say it's like $1.20 an employee a week or something like that. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, now it does. We've been on the slippery slope before, Andrew.
No,
you know what
happens
with government.
Yeah, no, the prices always go up. And that's why I'm saying is right now it doesn't cost that much. But I don't want New York State to be in charge of that, and I don't want them to mandate it. I would choose, if there was a product in the market today that cost that, I would just choose to give that to my employees. And not only that, the price would stay the same because there'd be competing companies. It might even go down over time. I suspect what we're going to find is just like with any other government-mandated insurance, think car insurance, health insurance, workers' comp, any of those insurances, they always said, oh, it's going to be real affordable. And when it started, yeah, it didn't cost so much. Now look at us today. Very expensive. Every single one of them.
Let's just touch on some other issues here, too. And some of the folks who followed Larry Sharp and Andrew, bear with us because you probably already know the answers to these things. Tell us about the way that you would deal with the New York Safe Act.
Oh yeah, Safe Act. That's an easy one. I'll give it to you real quick. People will say there's no way to repeal the Safe Act, and you'll hear that from elected officials, and that's because they have only one way of thinking, and that's big government, big system. we came up with a way to eliminate the SAFE Act with three steps that don't require the Senate, don't require the Assembly. First one is, in our first 90 days in office, we'll create the Office of the Pardon. The purpose of the Office of the Pardon is to find victims of the SAFE Act, people arrested unconstitutionally under the SAFE Act, and get them an executive pardon.
Like people who have one too many bullets in their magazine.
Yeah, people with eight bullets in their mag, people with a piece of plastic on their firearm that turned them into a felon, people who had legal firearms one day, and the next day they were made felons for that same legally purchased firearm.
AR-15, folks, we're looking at you.
Yep, absolutely. So that's step one. Office of the Pardon, give people their lives back. The second piece of that is tell law enforcement there is a zero priority, the absolute lowest priority. And officers tell us all the time, thank you so much for saying that you won't ask me to choose between honoring my oath to the Constitution or feeding my children at night. Because that's what this governor's asked them to do.
Yeah, trashing their careers.
Yep.
Or basically tramping on the Constitution.
Yeah. Third piece is we veto any and all bills with any type of funding or support for the SAFE Act. It's that simple. We do those three things. We take the teeth completely out of the SAFE Act. It's useless in New York State. Then we work on changing culture. We focus on every time the media comes after Larry Nye, oh, Governor Sharp, you know, this bad thing happened and it's because you're not letting the SAFE Act be enforced. We take the time to educate them and say, no, one person breaking the law does not make it so that everybody else's rights get infringed on. The Second Amendment is non-negotiable in New York State. We will protect your rights.
We have James from Henrietta on the line. Hey, James.
Hey, I got a real interesting story here. I run a roofing company for years and dealt with compensation. First of all, New York State is the only state in the union where the Department of Labor controls the comp and not the Department of Insurances, where it can be competitive on the open market. So it's basically a monopoly in a sense. Yep. Here is an interesting story at the midterm. About 10 years ago, one winter day when I was doing nothing, I went down to the office of an unnamed assembly person who is well-known. And I was complaining about the comp laws and a bunch of do-nothing about it. One of his peons explained to me, well, yeah, we know comp is out of control, but you see, you got to understand Sheldon Silver's law firm, he gets paid by the New York State Compensation Board to fight comp claims. So I'm like, well, wait a minute. What you mean to tell me is I'm paying big-time comp for my guys to be safe on the job and get paid if they get hurt, but the money goes to Sheldon Silver's law firm.
Bingo.
Guys who break their legs so they don't get their money, and I'm paying into it. You guys know it, and you sit there with your thumb up your backside about it.
Pay to play in New York.
Well, you've very astutely characterized the way that works, James.
Yeah.
Well, I have taken my roofing company and downsized it to like a lead generator because I'm done playing the state game. There is no way you can run legal. And then they pop these guys for running illegal. I got to tell you, in a survival situation when I've got a bunch of illegal labor, there's no way I can't run legal. You can't do it.
Right.
And if they base the compensation on safety, I used to tell assemblymen, why can't we base compensation on my safety record like my driving record?
Mm-hmm.
If I have accidents, then hit me. If I'm safe, then cut me some slack. If I run a safe job site, then why can't I be a better risk in the risk pool in an insurance world? They're not going to have it because the assembly buddies is just another tax in disguise, and it's crushing upstate New York, and nobody cares.
Well, I think a lot of people care, James, and we appreciate the call, and good luck to you and your company. But this is you take James's story, Andrew, and you repeat it over and over and over hundreds and thousands of times. And now, boys and girls, you know why business is fleeing New York State. Yep. And the people in Albany don't care.
Yeah, they don't care.
It's totally true. It's fine. Their attitude is, I call it the Detroit attitude. Because their attitude is not our problem.
Yeah.
When we need money, we'll get it from the federal government because they can print it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So we've only got a short moment here left. I'm just going to hit you guys with a sharp update real quick. I will be at the Albion Library tonight, 5:30 p.m. So if you're in the area, come visit me. This weekend, I will be all over. I spent last weekend in the Adirondacks. We have a Binghamton rally on November 3rd at 2 p.m. And one final fast little thing here. I stopped at so many businesses last weekend that somebody accused me of just taking a picture in front of all the signs without actually supporting the businesses. It was great. They're like, you're just taking pictures in front of places. I'm like, no, I'm going in. I'm supporting them. I'm spending my money. I'm having time with them. That's the type of change and push that we're making here. So thank you guys so much for joining us. I will catch you guys next week. Same time, same place, Radio Free New York.
Don't forget to vote. Vote, vote, vote. Take three or four of your buddies. Drag them to the polls. We need turnout, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for listening to Radio Free New York.